from the NRB in Nashville. So welcome. I'm so glad you joined us today. Oh, my goodness. Are we having fun? We've been having fun all morning. And now, guess what? She, meaning Serena?
Yes.
Yes.
And Bruce?
Yes.
Found his grace.
Yep. Amen.
And so there was a child involved.
Yes.
And is that also a she?
Yes. Yeah. So part of our story is I was sexually assaulted at 13 and I was taken for an abortion. And that abortion changed our lives forever. And you mentioned she. When I went through healing after my abortion, I asked the Lord if my child was a boy or a girl. And he revealed to me a girl, and her name is Eliana Grace. And so we get to talk about Eliana Grace's story. Her life was short, but man, is she making an impact around the world.
Oh, yeah, she is. And so could you move your mic up just a little bit closer to your mouth? There you go. That way the audience can hear you more. And I love that. And so we also have Bruce here with us. And so, Bruce, how did you enter into this story? How did this happen?
Well, we met in high school on the school bus, and we started dating. And that's how we met. That's how we entered into the story. But we started dating, and then in our dating relationship, we were sexually active, and she became pregnant. And she was late 16. I was early 17. And so we had Planned Parenthood had just been to our school, so we went there to, we thought, for help. And they said to Serena that she is young, still in school, and poor, and should have an abortion. Well, she had her abortion at 13 after being raped, and I grew up in the church, and we never talked about abortion at home. When Serena shared her story for the first time in the parking lot of Planned Parenthood, I said, I don't know how we'll do it, but we'll figure this out, and we chose life. And we now have a 30-year-old daughter who is just amazing and has given us two grandchildren that are totally amazing.
And so, very cool, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, right, the God of all comfort comforted us so that we might comfort others. And so he's using your story. And your daughter's name that was aborted was, again,
Eliana Grace.
Eliana, her story, right,
mm-hmm.
to comfort many. And so let's talk about grace a minute. From your standpoint, somebody who's experienced it to a great amount, like all of us have, actually, mm-hmm. how would you describe it?
Oh, my goodness. So how I experienced God's grace was really being in a place of brokenness from my abortion and also just being so lost, turning to drugs and alcohol, thinking that I was not a good mom or a wife, and really finding myself in a parking lot. And I was high, I was drunk, and I was post-abortive. And I prayed a simple prayer, and I said, God, I have no one but you. And what I love is God saw me in my brokenness, and he lavished me in a love that I'll never forget. And it was God's grace. By God's grace, I made it home that night. By God's grace and love and mercy, he has restored our marriage and our family, and has given us a redemption story, because that's our Father's love, right? And
and there was another beautiful part of the story that apparently after... Right, you became pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You said Satan was telling you that you were a rotten mom. But tell how you ended up reconciling back together with Bruce.
Yeah. So when my kids hit about middle school, I was struggling with feeling like I was worthy enough to be a mom and a wife. And so Satan really convinced me that I just needed to step out of the picture. So I ended up leaving our home and. And I was going to bless him out to be to find another wife and a new mom for my kids, because I felt so unworthy. And really, after leaving our home is when I had the encounter with God. And I went home and I began my healing journey. And Bruce and I both started our healing process. And there was a time where we were like, we felt like we didn't even have money to go to counseling. And this guy, he was like, once again, stepped up and said, I don't know how we'll figure it out, but we'll figure it out. And he He made sure that I was able to go through that healing process. And it was powerful. And I think sometimes doing this ministry, we hear people say, I can't afford this or that, or, you know, because peeling this back is like peeling layers of an onion. You know, we never arrive. And so we have to be willing to say, okay, God, I want all that you have for me, and continue to journey with him in our pain.
Right. And so while she was hearing all that, Bruce, what were you hearing?
Yeah. No, while she was hearing that, I was hearing that I was a bad husband because we couldn't get our marriage back together. Everything was falling apart. And also hearing that I was a bad father because everything was spiraling out of control in our home. So the devil was whispering in my ear that my family would be better off without me, so I was considering suicide. And I was trying to figure out a way to do it so that my family would still get the life insurance money so that they could move on. Now, God stepped in. He never allowed that to happen, but those are the thoughts that were going around in my head, that just find a way to kill yourself, and your family would be better. The devil hates family, and he wanted to put our family out of commission. But God intervened by his grace, and he surrounded our kids during this time with an awesome church family that was able to walk alongside of our kids when we were in a mess trying to figure things out, and we weren't able to parent 100% like we should have. So,
yeah, it's a beautiful story, and I love those aspects about it. Her book, Finding Grace After Abortion and Trauma, which is a big part of what you guys experienced. And the cover, if those of you are watching on Facebook and YouTube, is right there. Serena Dyksen.
Dyksen, yeah.
And so it happens to be, and I imagine a lot of people, is one of their favorite words, but I wonder if you know a few things about grace that God's been teaching me. Talk about layers of the onion.
Yeah.
Right. So you may know the first person in the Bible it's mentioned, is it God? I mean, Noah found grace in God's eyes, which is an interesting thing. In order to find it, you got to be looking for it.
Yeah.
Right? And the idea of it is interesting, that the word Noah has to do with comfort, mm-hmm. right? Because he would comfort his people. Mm-hmm. But it's interestingly, Noah spelled backward is grace. Did you know that?
No,
so in
know.
Hebrew, if you take the word Noah, which is just a nun and a het, that is the idea of comfort, which is Noah, okay? But if you take that backwards, which is a het and a nun, mm-hmm. right? And you can hear it, Noah and grace, which is han in Hebrew, then you can hear it.
That's awesome.
But when you look deeply into the word, it has to do with God has great faith in you. You're his favorite. Right? Like Noah was clearly, like, of all the people on the earth, he chose his family. He was God's favorite.
Yeah.
And we think, when you listen to Bruce's testimony, I'm not worthy. I haven't got what it takes. I've messed up. I've done all this stuff. And all that's true.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know it's true.
Yep.
And that's the reason why you believe it.
Yeah.
But you forget something. It's Jesus' blood that has that stuff covered, that when God looks at you, he sees absolutely clearly his favorite.
Yeah.
And he through that has favor for you. Now, with that understood, a lot of times I'll get upset at other people or whatever, and I'll complain to God, and I'll say, you know, God, they just, here we go again, you know, the same old, you know, whatever. And quite often he says, Robbie, did you lose faith in them? Or did you lose faith in me? Mm. Right? Because it's not them that I should have faith in, but God in them. It's the same way he looks at me. Can I look at others to go, okay, even if they are Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
God in Adolf Hitler is an amazing person that didn't get to actually, you know, glorify God while he was alive. But everybody out there that we talk to still has that potential. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought I'd give you a little rounding out of your, and you want to hear another funny story, and I shouldn't take the time to do this, but I will anyway.
It's your show.
So, I'd heard so many sermons on grace, mm-hmm. and you know, you give grace, and you take grace, and you say grace before you, I'm like, what is this? And I heard so many different definitions that I just feel like I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And so I was a grandfather at this point in time. And my young granddaughter at that point in time is now not so young. She was watching Barbie, the Mermaid Princess. Mm-hmm. And as I was watching Barbie, the Mermaid Princess, she had this unique gift that she could bedazzle anybody by putting pearls on all their whatever, you know, on all their bad parts. And so she meets this stonefish who is just mean as all the dickens, and he's trying to kill everybody with his poison spikes. And she's like, "Oh, Mr. Stonefish, you know, you need to be nice to your fellow fish. Let me bedazzle you with these pearls that she puts all over his." And as I'm watching this, even though this guy is acting like a complete butthead,
yeah,
right?
Right.
She could not be more like, "You have what it takes. You're a good guy. We're just going to straighten you out." And it was grace. Mm-hmm. And as I watched her handle Mr. Stonefish, I went, "That's it. Yeah. That's why you say to a knight or a king, his grace." Mm-hmm. Because that's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
And so for the first time, I really understood that when somebody's acting disgraceful, mm-hmm. yeah. that means they're not treating you like you're their favorite. So you can look in somebody's eyes quite often, yeah. and you can see, am I this guy's favorite?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't feel that way, honestly, that's disgraceful.
Yeah, yeah.
And which challenges me to, like, man, I need to, and when you think about it, Jesus is full. So when you're in Jesus' presence, you couldn't feel more like you're his favorite because he's full of it.
Right, yeah. right. And, you know, something that I just feel led to say is, you know, a lot of people share my story of being sexually assaulted, right? And really had a lot of bitterness. I had a bitter root in my heart. And God met me in my living room one day in Lamentations 3:58, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Did I pull you from the pit? Did I redeem your life?" And you know what? And I could answer that, "Yeah, God." And you know what? He just said, "Get out of the way and let me do what I am going to do." And that day I chose to forgive my abuser. And it doesn't mean, let me clarify, it does not mean that he's off the hook. But what happened was I was drinking a poison that was killing me.
Right.
Right? Unforgiveness. And, you know, and God gave me compassion to see him as a lost person that needs a savior, right? And that's God's grace because, you know what, I used to sit in that whole thing of he didn't deserve it, but, man, I don't deserve it either, right? And so God is so good in that grace. And
that's perfect.
And so if there's someone that's listening that just feels like they have that story and they have that bitter root, you know what, God wants to take that hook out of your heart and set you free. Forgive them, and that doesn't mean that what they did is okay. Let me say that again. It just means that, you know what, you're gonna pray for them because God wants to meet them just like he met you.
Perfect. Beautiful. Wonderful couple. Again, she found his grace. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless. Thank you.